Today's sermon is called 99 Bottles of Beer on the Wall. My brothers and sisters in Christ, let us pray. Our Lord God, of our grateful Advent hearts, minds, souls, and spirits, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I think we all remember as children times when we were loaded onto school buses and told we were going somewhere. Sometimes it was a well-defined journey, like going to another school to compete against another team, and we knew about what to expect. But other times we were herded onto buses for a field trip to something that we didn't quite know about. And maybe here in Greenland, we went to the ocean to explore tide pools and beyond the boundaries of what we see on land, maybe out at the Great Bay Discovery Center or something. Maybe we traveled out to the farm in the spring to learn about lamb births and new life as a way to understand our own reproduction cycle. For my part, I grew up in Denver, and we went off to the Federal Mint and to understand more about pennies, nickels, dimes, and quarters, and how they were made and what happened after that. Departures, I think we can all agree, as children, departures meant adventures. And most kids were up for that. But it also seemed, as kids, it took forever to get there, didn't it? And to pass the time, we often sung a song in very hushed tones so the teachers couldn't hear us in the back of the bus, didn't we? 99 bottles of beer on the wall, 99 bottles of beer. You take one down, you pass it around, there are 98 bottles of beer on the wall. 98 bottles of beer on the wall, and so on, right? And it passed the time pretty well. Because as kids, we were free to make up all kinds of realities and stories in our imagination. And so we sang silly songs like that. Because as we grow up, the world gets a hold of us. And it slowly dulls us, reminding us to be sensible, right? Remember the Supertramp song? Logical song, right? And so they sent me away to teach me how to be sensible. Come on, sing with me. Logical, so responsible, practical. We grew up. And unfortunately, we grew out of what's possible. We grew up to learn what's real and to know better. And so it must have felt almost impossible to believe what God was telling the ancient Israelites through our prophet Isaiah this week. God tells us in stark contrast what it means to trust the nations in this world more than the possibilities of trusting God's grace and building more life. God has shown the people that in placing their trust in kings and defenses against one another, that they begin to suffer and wither and slowly decline in spirit and social fabric till there's nothing left. And they're carried off away from the promised land of Jerusalem, where they were prospered for 10 generations as they came out of Egypt. God shows them that they brought this judgment upon themselves. They embraced riches over sharing, might over generosity, power over one another. God's ways are those of kindness, compassion, mercy, love, and kinship. People forgot. Their rulers forgot that God's ways are life-giving. And when God's ways are forgotten, it's only a matter of time till all is lost. God seeks us out, not in judgment. We do that to ourselves. We do a fine job of giving ourselves pats on the back for the good times and thinking we earn and deserve all we have because of our own means and ends. But the more we do that, the more we don't see how unraveled we can become and then one day wonder how we got here and need a help. But we can be hard on ourselves just fine too, can't we? Such is Isaiah 33 and 34, reflecting on our downtrodden world. But then, God offers an oracle of joy. God offers a mirror of what life has been to what life can be. Isaiah 35. God doesn't allow the people to rest in despair. But neither does God allow us to give up hope. God reminds us of our possibilities, which are impossible to our minds. Parched land and wilderness of our hearts somehow become safe for the people. The downtrodden shout for joy, and those who are bent straighten up. People can begin to understand the ways of love and the Lord so that there is actual physical change in the world. And one-time rivals who can't understand each other start to listen to each other. Heck, they may even wander into a coffee house on Wednesdays and start singing so that joy overtakes them, our scripture says. And barriers seem to melt when they consider their neighbor first rather than themselves. But beyond the definition of our troubles and the dislocation of our lives, it requires us to own up to how we no longer wish to enter into our troubles again and again, as God has shown us. We can do more if we leave that place and go somewhere else to another point of view. Because a point of view is a view from a point, and change requires us going to a different point and then to look. We might just be amazed at things when we see them from a different point of view, from someone else's world. Departure to go towards someone who can help glimpse God and God's purposes is pretty scary, because the rewards have nothing to do with riches or betterment as our world defines it. Joy can be ours if we give into grace. But it requires that we accept God on God's terms, not ours. Because we need to remember, we're made in God's image, not the other way around. We can forgive because God forgives us first. Look in the mirror and let's see what our life is like in God's joy rather than what God is like in our joy. See the pattern here? I want to leave you with these final thoughts. Even in an oracle of joy, it can seem like we are on a long and winding road. We don't remember how we are propelled onto the journey, or what the defining moments were that put us on that path. We know that we can feel we can't return to where we were, but that doesn't help us to understand the road ahead. The point is that departures often transport us to another context so that we can not only learn more about ourselves, but our place in the world. It's not familiar, but it helps us contextualize our place in the world and among peoples, places, and things. The journey can feel interminable, just like our school trip. We just want to get there, singing our song, which dulled our senses rather than enlivened them. But what is the joy of our departure now? What is the joy of our departure now? At this point in our lives. At this point in our faith. And where are we transported in new contexts? What do we see around us? What do we dismiss all too readily? And what catches our attention? And what do we do about it? Are we alive, or are we singing 99 bottles of beer on the wall right now? Where are we at, each of us and all of us? Do we feel grounded or in transition? And where is God in all this? I invite each of us and all of us to come along, come alive with the child's imagination, and consider larger questions in our holiday rush. To only God knows where. And for that adventure, thanks be to God. Amen.